Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Brian Main for that introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at an article that was written by Alan D. Haney. He is a member of the General Authority 70s in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He gave a talk at General Conference in October of 2015 titled, Remembering in Whom We Have Trusted. If you want to read the entire talk, it's found in the November 2015 Ensign, starting on page 121. This is an adapted version, a condensed version of that talk, but I still think it's important because what Mr. Haney is doing here in this article is he is spelling out what is required for a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints if they hope to receive exaltation in the celestial kingdom. In other words, forgiveness of their sins, because forgiveness of an individual's sins is absolutely essential if a Mormon hopes to be exalted. The title of this article that starts on page 80, and I should say ends on page 80, it's not a very large article at all, is titled, We Have to Be Clean, the subtitle being, The Savior Invites Us to Be Worthy to Return to Our Father. And he starts off with this story of how his grandmother was staying at his house when he was a boy and how he went out to play with some of his friends and they made a mud hole and they poured water into this mud hole in order to make it what he calls a miniature swimming pool. And then they're jumping in the pool. So naturally, he's getting filthy dirty. And now when he comes home, his grandmother meets him at the door and refuses to let him into the house. He says, finally, I asked her what I had to do to come into the house. And of course, the end of the story is he has to go into the backyard while she hoses him off with a hose. And he says, after what seemed like an eternity, she pronounced me clean and let me come into the house. So there's the parable as he explains it. Eric, I want you to read that next paragraph because you read it yesterday. But I think it's important to read it again because he cites a passage that I want to elaborate on, taken from 3 Nephi. What does he say in that next paragraph?
With that real-life parable of sorts in mind, please consider the following words of Jesus Christ. And this comes from the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi 27:19. No unclean thing can enter into his kingdom.
As a Christian, would you have a problem with that statement right there? No unclean thing can enter into his kingdom?
It's what we call sin. Sin has prevented us from being able to go into God's presence.
So we would not have an argument at all with the way that sentence is worded. If that's all there is to it, certainly I would say just about every Christian would have no problem with that statement, that no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Of course, the big question becomes, how do we get clean? And as I've mentioned in this series, this is what separates Mormonism from Christianity. What a Mormon must do in order to be cleansed of their sins is certainly different from we as New Testament Christians. Now, he cites 3 Nephi 27:19. He only quotes the first portion of that. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. But as I read yesterday, I would like to read it again today. The rest of verse 19, it says, therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, comma, and the repentance of all, not just some, all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. And as we've been stressing in this series, as we often stress on this show, the definition of repentance in Mormonism is certainly a different understanding that we as New Testament Christians would have. Repentance is not just a confessing of sin, it's also a turning away from the sin, never to repeat the sin again. And as we've mentioned, many Latter-day Saint leaders have stressed the fact that this repentance has to permeate every area of the individual member's life. There cannot be left anything that is untouched. There can be no spots on the white garment that we read, for instance, from Spencer Kimball yesterday. Now, I want to bring out that in verse 19, there is a footnote in the Book of Mormon, and it says Alma 11:37. Alma 11:37, which, by the way, is a verse that we often like to bring up in conversations when we are talking with Latter-day Saints on the streets or in email. What does Alma 11:37 say, Eric?
It says, "And I say unto you again that he cannot save them in their sins, for I cannot deny his word, and he hath said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can ye be saved, except ye inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, ye cannot be saved in your sins."
As a New Testament Christian, reading it from my worldview, I would agree with Alma 11:37. The question, though, becomes, well, how does a Mormon interpret this? How have Mormon leaders interpreted Alma 11:37? Well, based on what we find Mr. Haney saying in this article, "We Have to Be Clean," I'm going to have to say that it seems to be consistent that what he is arguing here is that a Mormon must not be engaged in a sinful lifestyle if they hope to get into the celestial kingdom. In other words, it's not just a haphazard, flippant, cavalier attitude of I can go out and sin and everything is going to be okay. That's not what I'm saying. He's saying that you should not have any sin that you are committing if you hope to be able to get into God's presence. Because as they interpret this passage, "And I say unto you again that he," speaking of God, "cannot save them," speaking of mankind, "in their sins." In other words, if they are still actively engaged in any type of sinful behavior, whether it's done without any conviction whatsoever, or even done with conviction, that still does not meet the requirement, because it goes on to say, "And he has said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, you cannot be saved in your sins." I would argue this. If no one can be saved in their sins, in other words, if you have any sin in your life, you cannot be saved, then no one can be saved. If it's saying, however, that you cannot be saved in your sins, meaning that the penalty of your sins has still yet to be paid, okay, now we're communicating here. Because I would argue that, yes, the penalty of your sins has to be paid for. But as a Christian, we would say that penalty was paid for by the works of Jesus himself on the cross at Calvary. But in Mormonism, it's based not only on what Jesus did in providing an atonement for sins, but it also depends on the performance of the individual Latter-day Saint. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is not enough, or as we would say, it's not all sufficient to pay for the Mormon sin. They must add to what Jesus did on the cross. So it's Jesus plus.
But as far as the impossibility of keeping all of the commandments continually, as D&C 25:15 says, according to the Book of Mormon, every single person has the capability of keeping the commandments. It says in 1 Nephi 3:7, "It came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them." So for the Latter-day Saint, who every week has to come and repent, realizing he fell short, and we are human, we do fall short, I agree with that, but the idea that you have to somehow, as this article says, we have to be clean, you have the capability of becoming clean, then the question is, why aren't you doing everything that you are supposed to be doing?
I think you raise a great point, Eric, because it would seem to me that if a Mormon really believes 1 Nephi 3:7, that he gives every Mormon the ability to keep these commandments. And this is what grace is sometimes defined as in Mormonism. It's an enabling power, they say. an enabling power to do what? To keep the necessary commandments. Now, don't get me wrong. As a Christian, I would say that grace certainly is an enabling power, but it's not an enabling power to keep all the commandments that are necessary in order to be forgiven. That would be a part of the definition that I would certainly discard, because that's not what the New Testament is implying here. But wouldn't you think, though, Eric, if a Mormon knows what 1 Nephi 3:7 is saying to them, and it's emphasized to the Latter-day Saint in sermon talks and conference messages and manuals, that you have the ability to keep all the commandments, wouldn't you think at some point in their life, while they're sitting there in a sacrament service, they would probably ask themselves, well, if that's supposed to be able to enable me to keep all the commandments, what am I doing here repenting of all those commandments I didn't keep?
Yeah.
Why do I have to keep repenting of all these things if that's really how it works? I would think that would be a fair question for them to ask of themselves, and perhaps even a fair question that we can ask our Latter-day Saint acquaintances.
A lot of Latter-day Saints will minimize this by saying, well, nobody's perfect. And I have been on the street a lot where I use the tactic of the Miracle of Forgiveness book that was written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. I think it's a great book because I think he accurately interprets the unique passages found in the standard works, the Book of Mormon, as well as the Doctrine and Covenants. And something that he says on page 164, when I ask Latter-day Saints if they're doing everything that Spencer Kimball says they're supposed to do, they say, I'm trying or I'm doing my best. Well, on pages 164 and 165, Kimball very clearly says, trying is not sufficient, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. He goes on page 165, to try is weak. To do the best you can is not strong. You must always do better than you can. This is true in every walk of life. And when I quote that to a Latter-day Saint, they look at the ground and they realize that trying, as good of an intention as that might be, is not what God intended. If 1 Nephi 3:7 says it's possible to keep and trying is an admission of failure, then what are you doing being a Latter-day Saint?
We've been emphasizing that for years and years here at this ministry, and now we are noticing that there have been articles in the Ensign and other LDS publications where they do talk about this perfection being an achievable goal sometime in the future. Jeffrey Holland gave a talk on that. You will be perfect eventually. And they do talk about trying, we've seen in some articles. But, you know, when you look at what their scripture actually says and what their leaders have said in the past about those scriptures, this new approach of saying, well, it's okay as long as you're trying, not only does it go against what Spencer Kimball taught, but I think it's inconsistent with their scripture. It's inconsistent not only with Kimball, but other leaders too. How does a Latter-day Saint put their head around that? Because if I was familiar with a lot of these statements that have been made by leaders, I would certainly see this as a contradiction, but maybe it's because a lot of Latter-day Saints don't want to see it as a contradiction, and perhaps they're hoping that maybe some of these new teachings coming out in some of these articles and such that it's okay to just try. What if you're wrong?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.